Hello, welcome. You're listening to... Are you listening to me? I can't hear myself. But if you are hearing me, you're listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. It's 11:08 p.m. And this is Sex Talk, also known as Love Line. That's the name I prefer. This is a public affairs show. In the past, we have served the public interest by relating our personal stories and allowing the listeners to find solace in telling us their stories. However, today, we have a medical, more of a medical topic to treat. We have two experts, I suppose, from different points of view. We have Mr. or perhaps Dr. I'm not sure, Jelovic, is that correct,
yes,
sir?
Yes, that's right, Bill Jelovic.
Who is an erectile and penile expert and a former patient of his, is that right?
Well, a very good friend of a former patient, actually.
I see, he's a friend.
Yes, yeah.
Yes, and your name, sir?
Bob.
It's Bob. Okay.
Very, very good friend.
So the topic for today is impotence and things related to impotence, such as premature ejaculation and, well, people who may be insecure about the size of their penis, for example. I think, what is the statistic? One out of every three students have, at some point during their college career, experienced some episode of impotence. Is that right, sir?
That's right, Juan. Our research shows that at least a third, maybe up to a half of students experience some kind of erectile problem that of a serious nature. This is more than just getting drunk one night and not being able to perform. This is a more chronic, long-term thing. And erectile problems are something people usually associate with the older gentleman, but it can happen at any time, even as young as 13-year-olds. I've had at least one 13-year-old patient in my clinic.
Oh, yes, my friend was 12, as a matter of fact.
Mm-hmm. So, obviously, this is heavily dysfunctional, and because people might think they're unique, it might be a great source of anxiety.
Yes, that's right. Most men are very proud of their penis, and it's a source of much pride, but also much shame, ironically. They're afraid if there's a problem with their functionality, they're afraid to open up and see a professional or see someone with their problem.
And it perhaps makes their problem worse to be anxious about it.
It can. Untreated erectile problems can be a can lead to very serious disorders.
At this point, I would like to ask somebody, if somebody's having this problem or knows of a friend who's having this problem, please do give us a call. Your story is very interesting to us. The phone numbers are 621-WRCT and 268-WRCT. Sorry to interrupt. Do continue.
No, that's all right. I think there are many, our research shows that there are many, many causes to erectile problems. I can think of maybe half a dozen or so. There are physical causes and there are psychological causes. The physical causes are things like drugs or problems with circulation or problems with hormones. And the psychological problems, which are actually more common in the college age males, are things like depression, stress related to schoolwork, performance anxiety. Perhaps many college-age students are having sex for the first time with mm-hmm. a man, or with a man or with a woman.
These things happen, you know.
And in fact, just misinformation. A lot of students having sex for the first time don't know what to expect, and they're very anxious about it. And this can cause various kinds of erectile problems.
Gosh, Bill, that's so clinical. I don't know, just amazed at your depth and grasp of a subject like this.
Well, it's many years of work at it, as I understand.
That's right. Well, thank you for that. I've actually been interested in erectile and penile issues for about 15 years now. I've had my clinic, can I name my clinic on the air?
Surely. Yes.
It's the Three Rivers Erectile Center, and it's in Moon, PA, and I've seen hundreds and, in fact, probably thousands of patients in the last decade and a half.
Well, one of them, or perhaps somebody who could become your patient, I believe, is waiting to talk to us on the phone. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, what is your name, please?
Jennifer.
Hello, Jennifer.
Yes?
I think Jennifer needs to turn her radio down just a little bit.
Okay, hold on.
Okay.
But I want to be able to hear myself on the air. That's very exciting.
You should be able to hear us through the telephone, ma'am. I'm sorry, you can record it for later, but otherwise there will be a tremendous technical
problem. How's that?
Well, there are tremendously complicated technical difficulties involved, and you're listening to the radio at the same time.
Hello?
Yes, hello.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, can you?
Oh, yes.
Okay. So, Jennifer, tell us, what's ailing you?
Well, nothing's ailing me. I think Mr. Jelovich is a little bit, you know, he's representing the male point of view, and not the female point of view.
Well, I don't know many females with penises, I'm afraid.
Well, that doesn't mean they don't have a point of view, though, Juan. I mean, please.
Oh, regarding the penis.
I think it's something that's rather central.
In fact, this
is quite true. In many couples, the female suffers at least as much as the man, if not more.
No, but that's where I disagree.
Oh, well, can you explain?
Because, you know, when men have penile problems, then they take much longer to get excited.
Yes.
And that's wonderful for the woman.
Ah. Oh, so you feel that men sometimes are just a little too quick for your...
Well, always.
Always.
So, Bob, did your friend have a problem with delaying or a problem with impossibility?
Well, it was an impossibility thing, but fortunately it was only intermittent, it's not clear even now what brought it on, but he sometimes was a stallion. It was just amazing. And then other times,
it's different for guys, but I'm telling you, man, you know, I was dating a man who had a penile implant because he was so concerned about not being erect. And I used to get to pump the thing up for him. It was fabulous.
So you had a measure of control with that relationship that you didn't feel, you know, in any other, I would imagine.
Well, it was more like, you know, you want it big, you make it big. You want it small, you make it small.
If I can interrupt the caller for a moment, I'd like to explain to the other people in the audience who may not know what she's talking about. She's referring to a device that we call either a self-contained or a fully inflatable penis pump. What happens is that there's a inflatable cylinders that are surgically implanted in the penis.
They're very comfortable.
And a fluid reservoir that's in the body cavity, and a pump that's actually in the scrotum. And so you actually pump the scrotum with a pumping action to inflate the penis to whatever degree of hardness, up to a point, of course, that is desired. And there's also a secret hidden release valve too.
Well, that's actually quite important.
Now, this is the device that did you say your boyfriend? Your friend's friend?
My boyfriend?
This is the device you have had experience with.
Well, some type of that device. I mean, I'm not so familiar with the cylindrical technical aspects, but...
But you did do the scrotal pumping, isn't it?
Oh, yes.
And some other cylindrical
aspects.
And
I'll tell you, that's great foreplay.
That's interesting. So you didn't mind the pumping aspect. Some people find that very off-putting or very mechanical.
Well, I mean, would you rather pump up somebody's dick or put on a rubber? I'd personally rather pump up their dick.
Wait a minute now. I don't know that this in any way affects the safety or lack thereof of sexual...
I'm just saying, people use condoms all the time and it doesn't seem to bother them.
That's right. Just let me make it clear to the listeners, a penile pump is no replacement for birth control.
And WRCT does not in any way, shape, or form advocate unprotected sex.
And the opinions stated here have nothing to do with the opinions of WRCT anyway, in general. But Jennifer, so I always imagine that the pleasure a woman got, or part of it, was in exciting a man herself into this state.
Turning down the motor.
So can you believe that the man is excited about you if you have to mechanically cause an erection?
Yeah, I mean, if he's kissing you and telling you, you know, you're Venus from Mars, and, you know, and he's licking your nipples, I mean, you know.
But you're not afraid. So many of the women that see me in my clinic say, my partner's penis is just a mechanical device. He's not interested in me. I have no way of gauging whether he's really sexually attracted or whether he's just in a hurry to pump up his organ and get the act over with.
Well, I think they need to get the girl more involved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way I see it, you know, a woman takes a real long time. You need to purr her nice and slow. And... it's about time you fellas learn what that's all about. And some of the best lovers I've ever had, you know, took me a long time to figure it out. But this last guy, Kevin, you know, by the time he started having these problems, and by the way, I think these problems were caused by working at a supermarket, but that's another matter. Anyways, you know, we've already been totally amazing, and there's more than one way to have a hard-on, and women don't necessarily get hard-ons through continual, you know, insertion.
So what is the subtlety of the foreplay with the pump that you enjoy?
Well, forget the pump. I mean, there's all sorts of other things, you know, that are quite exciting.
But the pump is what you have experience with, is that right?
Well, I'm just saying that if you want insertion, it's capable and possible, and you can have a lot more to do with when it happens. And so, you know, you spend more of your time trying to please the guy in a much deeper sense than you would if he just, you know, hurried up and got it over with.
Well, my good friend, we'll just call him Giuseppe. He found it a little difficult, just as Dr. Jelovich. Doctor, is that right?
I'm not technically a doctor. I'm an erectile and penile counselor.
Ah, yes.
I have a master's in penile.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, please.
Of course, do you need a prescription for one of these?
Well, it depends on the type of. It's not actually a prescription, but many of these involve surgery, and so an actual surgeon would have to implant the various kind of devices. And there are several kind of devices other than the inflatable devices. For example, some people opt for the semi-rigid rod, which actually gives you a permanent erection.
Right.
That when you're not having sex, you need to conceal it under a layer.
Yeah, Kevin didn't want one of those. He liked the idea of being able to turn on and purr whenever it was desired.
Well, there's also an intermediate option, which is the malleable rod, which allows you to actually bend the penis, literally bend it up or down, depending on whether you're in the sexual mode or the, you know, just going around your daily affairs.
So kind of like a claymation figure.
In some sense, yes, Jennifer.
Well, no, I mean, if you were like, you know, say you were just, you know, very sexually active and you use this thing 5, 6, 7 times a day, I mean, over the course of, I don't know, 7, 8, 9 years, you would think there'd be some fatigue. And, I mean, God, imagine if it broke in there. I mean, have you ever experienced where you had to go back in and you know, put another one in?
Did your friend Giuseppe have...
No, as a matter of fact,
kind of implant? Or?
No. He had no implant at all. He was able to treat it medically. With drugs.
Mm. You know, I have a girlfriend who's dying to meet somebody with an implant.
Well, I don't believe there's anyone here at the studio right now. Well, I mean, I could be wrong, Bill.
I mean, she finds it very exciting and erotic.
Well, maybe. I mean, this is a long shot, but maybe we could get someone to call in with an implant. I mean, what do you think, Juan? Is that?
Well, this
well,
is not.
Maybe my girlfriend can plead her case.
I that certainly would make it more likely.
Well, I would think that people with implants or this kind of problems would be a little. Perhaps shy. What do you think?
Well, some of them are shy, although there is a Pittsburgh chapter of both Impotence Anonymous, IA, and ROMP, the Restoration of Male Potency. And these people, there's a very active chapter in Pittsburgh. There's at least, to my knowledge, 100 to 200 men in this group. And I believe over time they've at first they have problems feeling comfortable and secure around women, but I think through these groups they've gotten their self-control.
So I think Jennifer's friend could find a flock of them at this institution.
Yeah, do they have like sort of like an adjunct membership for women?
Yes, that's right. The I-Anon, which is for partners.
Well, hold on. Okay, now she's a little bit shy, and she's you know having a little bit. You know, she's been alone for quite a while, but I told her about Kevin, and I can tell she's you know pretty into this whole thing. So. You know, if we can get someone to call up, we might be able to arrange something. But
well, let's ask somebody who wants to meet a woman who has some sort of implant or an impotence problem. No, it has to be an implant. Is that right, Jennifer? It cannot just be somebody with an impotence problem, right?
Jennifer, are you there?
No, she's not here. This is a friend that's right here right now.
Ah, and what is your name, dear friend?
Excuse me?
What is your name?
Oh, my name is Mary.
Mary.
Yeah, it's Mary.
And
Mary, quite contrary.
Yeah, quite contrary. Are you interested in a man with an implant specifically, or is just someone who's been able to overcome an erectile problem?
Well, at the beginning I wasn't, but you know, listening to my friend, especially my friend Jennifer.
I
think I might, you know, because sometimes men don't quite understand, you know, it's sometimes for a woman.
I have indeed found that my patients...
You know, with these implants, so, you know, you take some time in pumping them up, and you get all that excitement going on, and, you know, it's just, like, much greater.
That's right. I think in patients that I've talked to, the women who are have become comfortable with a man with an implant...
Hello? Have you ever heard, you know, men always come faster than women. You always have to be...
It's important to interrupt people. Please let Mr. Jelovich finish his sentence. Go ahead, sir.
My point was, I think that women that in this situation actually get a renewed intimacy with this with their partner's penis. They actually enjoy touching it and pumping it and bringing it to a state of arousal much more so than many other women who actually have, in an ironic sense, a kind of fear of the male penis.
Okay, Mary, I'm sorry to cut you off like that. What were you saying?
You know what? You kind of caught me off guard. So here, what's the question here now? Just give me the question and I'll answer it.
Huh?
Well, one of the questions was...
I mean, I have so many people asking me questions right now, you know? It's like I got my friend Jennifer, you know, giving me the phone, and then, like, you know, I might like implants or what?
I guess she kind of caught you off guard with that, didn't she?
Yeah. Well, let's start off from the beginning, and I'll let you know.
So, have you ever fantasized about making it with a man that had some sort of I don't know, implant or I guess we'll call it artificial. Is that right, Bill? Would that be appropriate to call artificial form of erection?
No, we prefer to think of it as erectile enhancement.
So an enhanced erection, is that something you've fantasized about, Jennifer or Mary?
You know what, not until long ago, but lately, ever since I've, you know, met my friend Jennifer, she's just, like, talking to me about this guy called Kevin. I'm just like, you know, are there any more guys like Kevin? I just gotta know. I mean, definitely, I've got to experience this.
I guess Jennifer must have really enjoyed the enhancement.
Okay, well... thanks.
Through the natural way. Go for the implant way.
Okay. Well, thank you, Mary, for calling. I guess we've run out of... Can you tell us, or can Jennifer tell us what was great about Kevin's implant or Kevin's sexual behavior? Or are we just going to say that it was great and leave it at that?
Well, yeah, I just... No, I'm going to tell you exactly what was great about it.
Okay.
Because I think this is very important. So a friend of mine had a penile problem, and his wife totally freaked out, and she thought he didn't love her and all this. And I just thought the whole thing was so strange because this guy loves her more than anybody, and he's a total stud. He's just like delish, you know? And this woman, you know, saw... Everything in their relationship is capitulating, literally, with, you know, this hard 5-second spasm. And it turns out all he needed was an enzyme. But, you know, I got kind of, and then it all went away, and they went back to their 5-minute escapades. But then I started to think, you know, I mean, what Dr. Jelovich was saying about intimacy, I mean, there's a renewed intimacy when sex for the sake of orgasm and, you know, high-flying physical attention isn't the main thing that's driving your sensual pleasure. And I think, you know, a man has to let his guard down a little bit when he doesn't have the normal functioning parts that he's relied on, you know, in our cultural day and age. And so when I became really interested in thinking about this, my friend who, you know, had this problem knew about this impotence support group, and I started going in hopes of meeting somebody. And I met numerous men, and some of them were really screwed up, but, you know, occasionally you'd meet one who was a little bit more enlightened, and actually, you know, when he talked about a woman, he wouldn't say, oh, how pretty was she? He'd say, oh, how big was her intellect, you know? And just imagine the kind of bedtime experiences you can have when the conversation starts out like that.
And I can imagine, you know, another conversation might be, you know, how big is his implant, you know? So did you meet Kevin at one of these sort of support groups you're talking about?
Well, he was actually a friend of somebody. He didn't need to go anymore, but, I mean, he was one of the best lovers I ever had.
So,
and it was because he spent most of his time doing things like kissing and licking.
So, yeah, on the subject of time, did you have, you know, pretty extended lovemaking sessions with Kevin?
Oh, hours.
Hours. And you think he was with you all the way? It wasn't just this mechanical thing that, you know.
Yeah, I mean, we'd be getting on, and then all of a sudden, you know, women, you know, snippet this, snippet that. All of a sudden, she's not in the mood, and she wants to talk about hopscotch, and so we'd get up and play hopscotch, and then.
Yeah, that's an interesting kind of foreplay. That's something I've certainly not
Well, my point exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that point actually. That it would be good for men to relax more often and to play hopscotch if you feel like
it. Yeah, jaggers. I mean,
I think that's an excellent point. However, I wonder about the physiology. What's going on inside Kevin? Is he really wanting to be erect and do the spasm thing, and he's just unable to, so he depends on you, or is he actually? You know, together with a lack of erection goes a lack of...
Well, see, it's hard for me to understand that question. I think most, well, I can't speak for most women, but the few women I've had intimate discussions with, I think would agree with me, and that question doesn't make any sense. And I mean, in some sense, I think the malfunction of Kevin's penis transformed his emotional state into one of a woman. And so that question wouldn't even make sense to him. Now, Mr. Jelovich certainly has met a lot more people with penile implants than I have. I mean, I've only met a handful, but...
Well, the question made sense, and you answered it that very correctly. Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Well, anyways, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, men who were having problems, I mean, I think this is more of a man's issue than a woman's issue. And, you know, I can't say what Kevin was like in his deepest, darkest heart, but I can say that we've had extended periods of foreplay, including dress-up and galloping around, and I was Guinevere one day, and it was quite nice, and broom closets, you name it. But it's a different form of lovemaking when you're... penis is not, you know, so, and I think that hormones did exist, they just didn't cause, you know, these quick 5-minute spasms that tend to disconnect the brain.
The spasms would be just a quickie, I guess, is what you're talking about.
Well, yeah.
Okay, just so.
There are extended, I mean, I feel sorry for a man who hasn't made love to a woman without having the traditional form of orgasm.
Which is?
You know, finally you get it on and then you expel it and that's the end of it. There are other forms of lovemaking.
Ah, there.
Which Kevin experiences regularly.
By necessity, he became an expert at it.
Yeah, and I don't hear him complaining. That's why I wanted to call up, because I think there's another way to look at this. I mean, a lot of men look at it as, you know, a lack of, and, oh, I am, you know, it's like being on a diet. It's like some kind of problem. And other people just take it like... Some very gifted people take blindness. It's like, you know, another thing in your life that you deal with. And some people, like Stevie Wonder, become great musicians as a result. So, you know.
But you're no longer with Kevin, is that right?
Oh, I see Kevin on a regular basis.
Oh, okay. I thought perhaps.
Actually, he was having a relationship with a man for a while.
Did you ever talk about that?
Oh yeah.
And do you think that man had some?
He had more of a problem with the penile thing than I did.
Oh. Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah. It is a very symbolic thing, you know.
But I just, you know, I didn't want to, like, hog up the whole show, so I'm going to go now, but...
Well, your points were excellent.
Excuse me?
Your points were excellent.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And men, there's women out there waiting for you. My girlfriend Mary is a prime example. She goes to Kiva Han on a regular basis on Friday afternoons.
What is the protocol to reveal to Mary that you have an implant, in case somebody might like to?
Well, I believe if you have the rigid implant, it'll be obvious, because
it's difficult to conceal, I would imagine.
Well, you know, maybe these people need to have, like, their own little ribbon, like, you know, the red ribbons and the pink ribbons and the... Maybe they could have a...
Maybe an opalescent ribbon.
There you go, sperm-colored ribbon.
But first they have to find their pride to be able to openly... show and discuss the matter. I think many
of them are
impressed.
Or they could always just, you know, sit down and pump it up. That'd be a pretty good way to tell people.
Yeah, but that would be as impolite as me masturbating in Kiva Hang on Friday afternoon.
Well, I was just kind of teasing, but, you know, I think that there's very... I do recommend, however, that you tell people before, you know, you get naked. That there has been some bad experiences with girlfriends of mine. Actually, this is an unrelated story, but there was another girlfriend of mine, and, she was this total sex maniac and very, you know, she's Greek. And she met this guy, and they had this hot single. And then when they actually went to bed, she found out he didn't have a wiener, literally. There are people born with no wieners. Now, these people, what are they going to do? I mean, could a sexual implant be used for someone who doesn't even have a wiener? I don't know. But, I mean, the guy did not tell her in advance, and it ruined the whole thing. So
It's important to bring these things up in advance.
I'm sure Bill has dealt with some difficult enhancement issues, but what about something like that? Is that something you come across?
Mm-hmm. Well, I should point out for the benefit of our listeners that there is a people who have erectile problems still have sexual feelings and sexual stimulation. They're just not able to get erect, so they still get all the pleasure of sex, but they don't necessarily are not able to get the firmness required for penetration. Now, I have had several patients who are actually born with no penis at all, and they require a kind of reconstructive surgery. And in fact, we fashion a penis out of bits of skin and cartilage from other parts of their body, and the surgeons at the University of Pittsburgh do a wonderful job at this sort of thing, and it's not perfect, but in the dark it's virtually indistinguishable from a real penis.
Yes. Are you still there, Jennifer?
Oh, we have lost Jennifer. Well, Jennifer had some very excellent points that I hadn't thought about. But I guess it's difficult for us to have the woman perspective. I appreciate the lazy Sunday afternoon sex kind of thing, and I appreciate being able to last and taking a long time to start even. But I think most men are not concerned with these issues, and they're more concerned with the size of their penis and whether they're going to... Well, I guess premature ejaculation is a common concern too. Is that right, Doctor?
Yes, that's right, Juan. And I'd like to follow up on the homosexual comment too. Some of my clients are gay, and I don't want to make generalizations here, but in the gay society, there's much more of a focus on the penis as a kind of center of the sexual experience.
An amulet of sorts.
Yes, that's right. And yeah. So these people are much more interested in having a large, firm, fully functioning, fully healthy penis, and so they often have much different set of issues than the heterosexual men have sometimes.
Do you think that Jennifer's attitude is typical of most women when they have sex with implanted men or enhanced men, I suppose I should say?
Well, I think Jennifer is a little bit special because she's gotten past the fear of this unusual sexual prosthesis and actually enjoyed the benefits that she can get from it. The lengthy sexual encounters where her partner can really pay attention to her other erogenous zones, and she talked about licking and feeling and stroking, and a man with this implant actually has many advantages over someone who perhaps would ejaculate in 5 or 10 minutes.
In my experience, though, women seem to be more fixated with the penis than Jennifer would show, right? Of course, it's a game of averages, so.
Yeah, you know my friend Giuseppe, he would what he was able to do was there was a shot that he could actually inject into his penis, and it would give him just a tremendous hard on, and he used to do that before he went out to a nightclub or something like that, and I guess it was like that concealment issue, but he pretty much strutted it around. He pretty much enjoyed it that way.
I'd like to talk about those injections because I heard of a case earlier today, but we have a phone call that maybe can shed some light on something. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, what is your name, sir?
My name's Lou from Leedsdale.
Hello, Lou.
My question?
With your question or your problem, or if you just want to chat, go ahead.
My question is I want to artificially lengthen my penis, and I had heard that you can hang weights on it and do that, and I wonder if that can cause any permanent damage.
I presume you want to enlarge it without having surgery? Is that what I'm hearing?
Okay. Yeah, to lengthen the tendon in it.
Is that possible, doctor?
Well, that yes, it is. In fact, we at our clinic, we also do some penis.
Enlarge it without having surgery? Is that what I'm hearing? Okay.
Yeah, to lengthen the tendon in it.
Is that possible, doctor?
Well, that yes, it is. In fact, we at our clinic, we also do some penis lengthening therapy. And there are many approaches that people use. I think they can fall into several categories. There's the surgical approach, where they actually cut one of the tendons and lengthen the penis that way.
Drastic.
There's the I actually personally do not recommend that approach except in extreme cases because it often looks a little strange. For example, the skin from your pubic region actually pulls down and becomes part of your penis, and so you have, in effect, a very hairy penis. You have to decide if you really want that. And in general, there's a lot of problems. When the tendon is reattached, it might tear, it might there might be a possibility of infection. I don't recommend that. The two other approaches that I prefer are vacuum enlargement and a slow process involving weights. And there actually is a third process that's used by the people of the Arab descent.
Would that be Jelk?
Yes, that's right. That's right, Bob. Uh-huh.
I heard about that, and I wasn't sure if that really could be true. I mean, you know, Jelk.
So what is this? Is Jelk?
I'm sure Bill can shed a little more light on
that. Maybe we should go in order of the methods, in the order you prefer, sir. But I'm very interested in Jelk as well.
Well, I'd like to ask the caller. So is that all right, or has the caller tried these methods? And
I tried a 2-pound weight for approximately a half an hour, but it didn't seem to do anything. Like, I didn't.
A 2-pound weight?
Yeah. 2 pounds of lead.
Attached to your penis or to your scrotum?
The head of my penis.
Is it pierced?
With a cord? No.
Okay.
So did you... like I made a noose spike, not a noose to tighten.
Oh, right below the head. It caught on there?
Yeah.
Okay. So was this something that you did repeatedly over weeks and months, or just tried it once?
I tried it over a 4-day period, but mm-hmm. I didn't seem to feel anything, so I didn't think it was working.
Well, you have to have much more patience than that. These kind of what I call natural... extensions take months and years because you want to go slowly. You're doing a sort of body modification, and so you don't want to tear anything or stretch any. You don't want to stretch it, but slowly, so that your body can adapt to it. So I'd say you have to do these exercises for months at a time before you can see any improvement.
What would be the maximum length that you could achieve from that? Would it depend on the individual physiology, or?
I think that's right. It depends very much on the individual. I've had clients attain, depending on the method, an inch or two in length, and perhaps
that's amazing.
Half an inch or two in circumference, especially with the vacuum pumping method.
In circumference,
quite effective.
So you can order those out of the backs of magazines, right?
That's right. That's right. Although I should point out, you do these vacuum pumps. There is a danger of misusing them and of getting a low quality one. So if you're really serious about vacuum pumping, you should go at it slowly and get a quality device. You don't want to bruise yourself. You don't want to damage.
Do you need supervision?
You need to read up on it and understand how to do it. But
Mary watches you. That was a joke.
Oh.
Supervision,
well,
Mary.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm sure at the clinic, there are people that can help you with that sort of thing.
That's right.
But it's, I think many more people would do it by themselves if they could. Is it possible?
It is possible. In fact, there is a web page that I could mention for.
Feel free.
This is not affiliated with my clinic, but it has a wealth of very, very useful information on penis lengthening. It's http://www.newart.com/pump/index2.shtml. And there's a wealth of information there about various kinds of penis lengthening techniques.
And a technique I like to use is, I like to, when I'm having sex, is to squeeze my penis and then, inflate the girth of it.
But down the base, or
yeah.
How do you squeeze that? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a very natural kind of, that in fact does sort of the opposite of the
my last thing. Partner actually did that, and I thought it was really good. Please do go.
Well, that can enhance, that can delay ejaculation, that can enhance momentarily enlarge the penis. In fact, that is a technique that actually goes more to this Arab technique of Jelk. If you do that on a regular basis,
I can't wait to hear about that.
Yeah, it's something. I've heard a little bit about it, but I think it's something I want to hear more about.
Yeah, the radio personality from Pittsburgh, Doug Hirth, had penis lengthening, if I'm not mistaken.
Is this something he spoke about on the air?
Yes. Yeah.
Mm.
He said that he had an extremely small penis, and I laughed at the hairy penis thing because he was talking about that.
Did he mention what technique that he used?
The one where they pull the skin, they cut the tendon.
It was a surgical.
Yeah.
I'm not familiar with his case. Was he happy with it? Was it successful for him?
I guess. I mean, he didn't complain.
Yeah.
So. But that's why I'd heard about that before.
So let's do a catalog of the methods. The surgical one, which you do not recommend.
Well, I personally don't recommend any kind of surgery unless it's necessary.
Then there's the weight training, the physical therapy approach, I suppose. That takes a long time.
That's right. Both the weight training and the vacuum pumping.
The weight training, the
Excuse me. Can you turn?
Both the weight training and the vacuum pump. Excuse me.
Okay. The caller has been cut off at this point. If the caller is hearing us, he should turn the radio down, and then, well, I guess we'll check on him in a few seconds, see if he did that. Okay. So the weight training, the surgical, and what were the other two?
I'm getting confused here. the
gel,
the vacuum,
I think,
pump,
right?
And the Arab method, the gel. Yes, that's right.
Can we talk about the Arab method now? I'm interested in anthropology as well as sex and radio, so I would like to hear about this one.
Well, in Arab society, it is well known, at least maybe not scientifically known, but that the Arab people have unusually large penises, and that's because in their culture, they, from a very early age, the boys are trained to perform these daily rituals where they lengthen their penis. This starts out a young boy every day does a 30-minute ritual where he strokes and lengthens his erect penis every day without trying to achieve an orgasm or without being sexual, just every day for 30 minutes maintains an erection.
But I did that when I was young and it didn't seem to improve things. Is this different from...
Did you do it without achieving an erection?
Oh, without achieving an erection.
Yeah, that's the key part.
Oh, I didn't hear that. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Well, no, you do achieve an erection.
Ejaculation. That's what I meant. Without ejaculation. I think that's the key part.
Yeah, I guess most times within the 30 minutes I probably did, because I was in a rush to go to school or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And that's only the first phase of the gel process. Afterwards... what happens is that the adolescent men, they go to a kind of sauna where an attendant performs this ritual for him. They rub the young man's body with a kind of aromatic oil, usually scented with something called patchouli,
that's the 60s.
That's right. And so especially at that age when the adolescents, you know, are very sexually active, or at least their hormones are very active, it's very difficult not to get an ejaculation, but it's very important because it's these erections in this daily ritual at the sauna where they achieve the most growth.
Doctor, please allow me to interrupt because we live for our listeners and there is one waiting to talk to us.
All right.
Hello?
Yes?
Hello, what's your name?
Oh, my name's Sarah.
Bear? Sarah?
Sarah, yeah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Sarah.
Oh, so how you guys doing?
Oh, we're doing fine.
Are you interested in these or have some experience in these penile lengthening techniques that we've been talking about this last few minutes? Sarah, I think you need to turn your radio down. It's a little loud. We're getting some feedback.
No, not. I was just a little bit confused because I was listening to your show and like all of a sudden I'm listening about implant penises and then all of a sudden I'm listening to about these guys that want to lengthen their penises. I'm like thinking, what is up with these guys? You know.
Well, do you think it's perhaps much different than like women that want to have breast enhancement?
What happened? Oh, I guess something happened anyway. Sarah, do call back, but don't be so angry. We're just talking about things that are important to many people, not necessarily to you.
Just to respond to Sarah's point, though, I think it's important. In our society, many women feel that their breasts, for example, are too small, and they seek a kind of surgical augmentation, or perhaps a more... There is also kind of a natural breast augmentation where people use vacuum pumps or weights on their breasts in order to enlarge them.
Right. But, I'm sure Sarah wouldn't do that, but she should have respect for people who might.
So in our society, in the same way that women need to enhance certain parts of their body, men are also worried about enhancing their penis, and I think we shouldn't judge people for that.
But in fact, women are sometimes judged for breast enhancement. Do you think it's a completely sort of analogous kind of situation, or is there some special because of the sexual performance that's so inherent to a manhood, I guess, if you will? Do you think it's a little different situation with men?
Well, all the people who visit my clinic, I counsel and I make sure that their penis lengthening or their implant is they're doing it for the right reasons. I wouldn't counsel somebody to grow a grotesquely large penis just to have the biggest penis in the locker room. I think that's inappropriate. Nor would I, you know, give a woman a tremendous breast. I think if someone wants to look more natural or more average, then by all means, I suggest these.
these enlarged penises, and I do want to get back to the Arab method, but these enlarged penises are enlarged both when they are erect and when they are not?
Well, depending on the method, for example, if you use the vacuum pump method, your penis will be larger correspondingly than it is both when it's erect and when it's flaccid. It's not doesn't mean that it's erect all the time. It's just when it's in its soft state, it will be bigger than right. It was before, and also when it's erect. So there's overall growth.
I believe we have another caller. Maybe Sarah managed to fix the line problem. Can we put them through? Hello?
So, Sarah, what was your question?
Well, no. I was trying to talk to you earlier, but all of a sudden I get cut off, and we're talking about enlargement of penises, and all of a sudden I get cut off, and I'm listening on radio, we're talking about enlargement of breasts.
Do you have a question or a comment?
No. My comment was before is, like, I just thought your show just went off kind of on a tangent of talking about implant of penises and all.
Well, we're just talking in general about penile augmentation, if you will.
Penile augmentation. Okay, I understand that.
Many men have problems with small penises like they do with impotence, so they are very related in most men's minds.
That's right. I there are so many.
Well, like I said before, it's like, you know, it's with women, you know. I'm a woman, and I don't think I'm, like, too big, but I know how to use what I have.
It seems that you...
So a man with a penis, he shouldn't be worried about how big it is or not. Well, he should be worried about how to use what he has.
I don't worry about the size of my penis, and you don't worry about the size of your breasts, but there are women who worry about the size of their breasts and men who worry about the size of their penis.
I just found it kind of odd to listen to you about, like, you know, all these different, like, techniques, and maybe
We're here to serve the public, and many people are concerned with this issue,
Oh,
Sarah.
Oh, definitely, and this was something new that I heard about, like, what my guys might do, and I just found it kind of, like, odd that they'd be worried about such a subject like this.
Oh, well, that's...
I just thought they'd be worried about how to use what God gave them, not how to enlarge what God gave them.
Well, what can we say? There's so many people in the world. There's going to be so many different perspectives, and granted, some people are going to.
What can Dr. Dalovich say about this? I mean, you know.
Well, look, Sarah. There are many people who are deeply unhappy with what they have. You may have an average endowment and be perfectly happy with it, but you don't understand the kind of people that I deal with that are psychologically scarred. And I'm sorry if you don't have sympathy for them, but. It's true. I deal with people in great psychic pain every day, and I have a wealth of techniques to help them, and I'm glad there's a way to help these people.
Yeah, would you find it distasteful for somebody with clinical depression to go see a psychiatrist? Probably not. And the psychiatrist just provides techniques to get people, help people get over it. But Sarah, I have a more constructive suggestion.
No, probably not. No, there's no way I would find,
which are you saying no to?
That I wouldn't find it kind of, I wouldn't find it strange, or I mean, I wouldn't find anything wrong with somebody going that felt anything that would go see a doctor or something like that.
Okay.
No problem. If anything, you had a problem with anything, just talk about penis size, breast size, anything you want.
No, Sarah, don't get upset. I have a more constructive suggestion. I find it also very fascinating how to teach people to use what they have better. But very often
people should know exactly.
Right,
I don't know.
Right. But
people should love to know what they have and the gift they have and to know how to use it.
I agree totally. So why don't we talk about it some other time, and you can be a guest on the show and tell men how to use what they have.
You're trying to cut me off, aren't you?
Well, it's not the topic for today, but we can make it a very interesting topic some other day.
So what's the topic for today? Because I thought you went
topic for today is how to help men who feel inadequate with their sexual performance or sexual organs.
Penises, to put it bluntly.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, thanks for calling, Sarah.
All right.
Okay, bye. Well, sorry, I really hate cutting people off, but she was going off the topic. I'm sorry, Sarah, if you're still listening.
Well, you know, I have a confession to make. That Giuseppe is me, Bob. I am Giuseppe, and I actually did get help. It wasn't through Dr. Jelovich, although I'm certainly interested in finding out more. But it's been tough, and listening to Sarah go off that way. I mean, she just can't appreciate sometimes what men go through. And in my case, it wasn't the size; it was the erection. And I'm glad I was able to find some treatments with drugs and enzymes and such. But it was difficult to hear her say that, because my brethren out there, you know, I feel are struggling and someone you know, they need help.
And Bill's work probably created a member society that is much more productive now than it was before. So I don't think there is much wrong with it. Of course, you shouldn't use this kind of techniques purely as a crutch, but the crutch allowed you to get up and start walking.
That's so right. That's right.
So let's talk about the Arab method before we have to go. I'm very curious about it.
Well, so when I left off, I was talking about the treatment that they get in the sauna by the attendant, and the final phase, which you do when you're a young man, is another daily ritual. And the way I like to explain this is there are certain Arab oils and powders that you can only get in that country, and you can't get them here. But you can actually, if men are interested in doing this ritual here, you can actually do similar things with over-the-counter items. And basically, what you do as an adult is you mix mayonnaise and cornmeal and coat it all over your body, your chest, arms, and back. You can use one of these sponge on a handle devices to rub it in every nook and cranny and just get covered with this mixture. Obviously in Arabia it's not...
I find that very incredible.
Well, it's actually a mixture of very rare oils and...
In the mayonnaise?
Well, not in the mayonnaise.
This is an approximation to the real thing.
Right.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
You would spend $10,000 getting exactly the right materials, but you can get a very good approximation with just ordinary Hellman's mayonnaise and some cornmeal. Rub that over your body, and then go into the shower and turn the water on hot, and stand there and.
This is to emulate the steam room kind of environment.
Right. Not so hot that you get burned, but you know, fairly hot.
Do you stand under the water, or you let the steam do you? Away from the water.
That's right. It's the steam. You rub the mixture in your skin from the steam, and
so you don't. This is without an attendant, then I guess.
Well, if you have an attendant, by all means. But this can also be done alone.
You can perhaps have a friend help you.
That's right.
Yeah.
And after the mixture soaks in, rinse off. Now, don't use soap. Just rinse the mixture off, and right afterwards, you will feel a tingling glow, and your skin will get a very beautiful satiny finish.
So, what do you think is the importance of getting it in every nook and cranny? I mean, why not just on your penis?
Well, this is the point of this treatment is to energize your whole body spiritually, and it prepares the penis for the final lengthening step.
The mind body penis unity.
That's right.
Thing.
That's right. And then
I think Jennifer would understand, our previous caller would understand this, actually.
Yes,
I do as well.
This is clearly the most natural of all the approaches, because after you attain the state of this after the lotion has been applied to you, then you again lie in your bed and achieve an erection, but do not achieve orgasm again. And do this process every day for 30 minutes, and I guarantee you, you will see tremendous growth.
What is a typical growth? You mentioned an inch or two before. I found that so difficult to believe.
Over time...
That's 20%, depending on the size that you start with.
That's right. Over time, all of the various techniques will give you about an inch or two of growth and in length, and maybe a half an inch to an inch in diameter.
Is this erect or flaccid?
This is erect.
Okay.
But I urge people to take this slowly. I don't want anybody injuring their penis, which is indeed...
Vital, but
possibly delicate organ, and you don't want to go too far too fast.
We have 3 minutes left. I think this topic can yield a lot more, and perhaps if you would be so kind, you can come back. But I would like to emphasize the three or four things, if you don't mind, that we have gone over. So this mixture, again, is, did you say oatmeal with mayonnaise?
That's cornmeal.
Cornmeal with mayonnaise, and then you go in the shower and let the steam treat you.
That's right.
Also, the web location for information on pumps, is that right? Is what is it again?
It's various kinds of lengthening. It's not just pumps.
Okay.
And various kinds of erection issues. http://www.newart, that's newart.com/pump/index2.shtml. And there's all kinds of fascinating information there. And I believe you can also order a high-quality penis pump there as well.
One that would meet your standard
that's
approval?
Right. That's right. Now, I don't have any affiliation with this group, and I don't have any affiliation with this product, but their pump is a high-quality pump, and I would recommend it for people who are trying out that route.
Well, actually, a question just assaulted my mind, and I hope we have enough time to, but if we don't, I'll cut you off. I apologize in advance. What is, I heard from some of my relatives that having excessive sex can actually limit one's potency, if you will, or penis size when you become old. And that has me concerned, because sometimes I've been known to be active. Is that true?
That is simply a myth. Erectile problems have nothing to do with overuse. In fact, we find quite the opposite is true. Practice makes perfect, and a penis that's used a lot in his lifetime keeps on lasting until the late stages of life.
It takes a licking and keeps on ticking.
That's right. I have 70-year-old clients who are having perfectly satisfying sex lives without any penile implants or any sort of...
70-year-old, so that probably goes even... They go quicker than we do at our younger age, or...
There's actually kind of a process that happens in life. You know, young men are able to quickly achieve erections, but they also have orgasms very quickly as well. Older men, they take a longer time to achieve an erection, and they require more fantasy and more stimulation, but they can also last longer. So there's a kind of a trade-off. That's why some women prefer older men, because of their staying power.
Life is full of trade-offs. That's fascinating. I would have never suspected that. Certainly the popular image of old men is not that.
No, it's not the case. I mean, it is true that they take longer to get erect, and also the refractory period is longer.
What is the refractory period?
Well, it's the period, once you have an orgasm, how quickly you can get another erection and have another orgasm. For young men, it might be a matter of minutes or almost immediately. And for men in their 30s or 40s, it might be an hour. And for older men, it might be as long as a day or two. And so there's that trade-off as well.
Well, I'm very grateful that you were present here today, Dr. Yelovich and Bob.
Bob, that's right.
It has been a terribly interesting show. Perhaps we can have you back sometime, if you would not mind.
I would like that very much.
Oh, thank you, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
You've been listening to WRCT Pittsburgh. This has been Sex Talk, also known as Love Line. I would like to mention that if you have difficulty receiving WRCT, we can now be received over the internet. The address where you should go to find out about how to do it if you have a PC or a Macintosh computer is http://www.audioactive.com. And there will be a list of test sites where one of them, go to that list and click on WRCT. Thank you for listening. It's a little after midnight. Chris is coming up next, I believe, with some excellent folk song, mostly by women. Thank you. Good night.